Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, good morning, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSNP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. And today we have, well, today is all about glam. Yes, today we have a very, very amazing guest, and they are unveiling their next book. So I'm very happy to have tonight Michael Herkes, also known as the Glam Witch, has been practicing modern witchcraft since he was a preteen. He is a devotee of the goddess Lilith and focuses his practice on crystal, glamour, moon, and sex magic. His debut book, The Glam Witch, was released last year and is his manifesto for embracing the great Lilithian arcane mysteries. His brand new book, The Complete Book of Moon Spells, releases tomorrow, July 14, and is a collection of spells and recipes to manifest abundance through each of the. Michael is also an experienced tarot reader, nationwide speaker, and a contributor to Witch Way magazine. And I'm very honored and very happy to also be able to call my friend. So, Michael, welcome to Lunatic Mondays. How are you, honey?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Well, I'm very happy to have you. And this really got stretched because I really wanted you to be on the show for the first book, but then I was never able to. I'm very blessed with a lot of people that want to be in the show, and then It turns out here we are. But then when I saw that you were unveiling your second book, I'm like, okay, this time I'm not gonna let him go, and I'm gonna hold him and I'm gonna grab him, and That's what's gonna happen.
I wrote the second book just for you.
Thank you so much. You know what? You actually did, because you and I have, hold on, I'm turning on my fan because I'm cooking here. You and I have a lot of common places, my dear friend. And one of them is the concept of abundance not being just money.
You know?
And I guess it comes, it pairs with being a glamorous person, that it's not just about money and opulence, but it's also about resources and all that. But before we get into all that, I want everybody who is listening to our show tonight to get to know you like I did, like I have when we did the interview. And so I have to ask you what I ask all of my wonderful guests. How did you get into witchcraft, paganism, magic, being a witch, if you identify as a witch, and how long did you started your practice? How long ago?
So I would say, I've been practicing witchcraft for 2 decades at this point. So about 20 years ago when I turned 11, I was really, really fascinated as a child with the witches in general and all of the glamorization of witches in the media. So, you know, movies like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, The Evil Queen and Witch, and Wizard of Oz, and then Hocus Pocus, all of those I was just so deeply touched by. And I also had a really big affinity for the moon, as well as any type of female, feminine archetype and force. I loved it. And, you know, as shows like Charmed and Buffy started to pop up in like the late 90s, you know, I of course gravitated towards those and started to hear the terminology and the interchanging of witch and Wicca. So it wasn't long before I was at a mall in the south side of Chicago, one of the suburbs out there, and looked in and saw Teen Witch by Silver Ravenswolf. And I was able to convince my mom into getting that for me. And it kind of took off from there. And I started to read a little bit more and kind of immerse myself into it. And, you know, at that time, it was kind of a big coming out for me because I not only came out of the broom closet, but I was also coming out of the gay closet as well. And witchcraft kind of helped push me out of the rainbow closet, if you will, because what I remember seeing and loving so much was that all acts of love and pleasure were rituals to the goddess. So it kind of made me feel a little bit more comfortable with my sexuality as I was coming into it. And it wasn't again until I really started to dig into witchcraft a little bit more, see a couple more books that I really, really kind of hit into overdrive and you know, really claimed myself as a witch once I started to read the book Witch Magical Journey by Fiona Horn, who I call my literary high priestess. And she was a really great friend who I'm so happy to have had the opportunity to work with her on my first book as she wrote the foreword to it. But one of the reasons why that is because Lilith was calling to me. She was calling to me even as a child before I even got into the witchcraft world. I found a comic book, a graphic novel that had her in it, and it referenced her as the first wife of Adam. She was the mother of all vampires in it and all of that, but she was so glamorous and lovely, and I was completely spellbound by her. And, you know, once I got into witchcraft a little bit more and started reading and doing research, you know, hearing about patron gods and deities, as well as different ones that were out there, Lilith started to come back up. But at the time, you know, the Oracle of Google is not what it is today. And I was only limited to library research from my schools and things. So there wasn't a lot of good, if any, research out there on Lilith, at least from the metaphysical standpoint. There was a lot of historical relevancies and things, but nothing too magical at the time. And everything that I was seeing kind of referenced her as a demon, so I got kind of scared and ran away. But eventually I kind of got over myself and got over my own cynicism because she kept calling out to me. The lingering call of her was still in the air. I would open a book and I'd see her name. I'd turn on a television show and there'd be a character named after her. So I eventually let down my guard and embraced her. And it was at that time that I kind of started to drift a little bit away from like the more Wiccan approach to witchcraft and just started to create my own practice centered around her. And that's really happened in like my late teens, and it had gotten really solidified in my 20s. And it wasn't until I would say it was 3 years ago, I think, 3-4 years ago, that I went to a really magical festival in New Orleans called Hexfest. It was my first time kind of re-coming out. I've been solitary this whole time and kept very, very much to myself, and had a wonderful time there and saw all of these great influential teachers and people from around the world. And it was then that I got really inspired to kind of tell my story. So I started writing with Witchway Magazine, and my first book came out, The Glam Witch, which is a manifesto for spiritual empowerment with Lilith. And glam is not only glamorous. I mean, if you've seen me, you've seen me and you know that I'm very, I have a deep love for sparkle and sequins and anything that's really, really glamorous. But I also use glam as an acronym for what I call the Great Lilithian Arcane Mysteries, which is what I've kind of defined my personal path. And and then now we're here today with me doing the moon book that's out now, that comes out tomorrow. So
yes,
I'm excited. It's been a really exciting time. So it's fun.
It sounds like you've been really excited and fun. And, you know, I was telling my students this morning, like, if you're doing anything and you're not having fun, then why do it? You know?
Oh, my gosh. I say the same thing all the time. Yeah, you know.
I'm telling you, honey.
I say that a lot. I've written it in my books a couple of times, and I'm kind of working on a new project right now and was just writing about it as well. You know, witchcraft in and of itself, it's very serious. When we're doing our rituals, we have to be serious about it. It's not all, you know, sparkles and glitter and sequins like the movie shows us. But at the same time, you have to have fun with what you're doing. I mean, why would you be a part of a spirituality like this if it was not fun, if it wasn't, you know, feeding you in some kind of a way, intellectually, mentally, spiritually, So yes, my motto is to always have fun, not to take everything too seriously, but be serious in those moments.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I really like about you, and this is going to show the gap on age that we have on 47 just recently. So that mm-hmm. is a good 15, 16 years between you and I. And I remember mm-hmm. growing up, you know, a young witch 10, 15 years ago, like, oh, no, you didn't talk yeah. about the witches on TV. You didn't talk about the pop culture. And it was like, frown upon, you know, and people will look over your shoulder,
yeah.
over their shoulder. And I love about your generation and the younger generations that you guys just don't care about anything and you are just doing you. But what do you think about people that get really hung up into pop culture and, oh, that doesn't represent me. My magic is like traditional and serious and, you know.
Well, I think you kind of nailed it on the head with, you know, I think the different generations have a different way of practicing and stuff like that or see it differently. Just because, you know, with my generation of witches, we grew up with it. Like we were not only, you know, we were literally growing up during the teenage times where like the media is so influential in everything that we're doing on top of trying to come into ourselves and our sexuality, our spirituality, just our adulthood. So I can't speak for everyone, but at least me and some of the other witches I know from my generation, yes, we were so super saturated in the pop culture witch, the pop witch. And I think that it's fun. I do think that there's been a little bit of a change in the last 15 to 20 years with some of the older people, because I do remember being starting out as a preteen and right at that time we had MySpace and all of that and the different groups that were out there and some of the finger shakers, like don't talk about this and don't do charmed and don't do the media witchcrafts and stuff. But I think that people in general are becoming a little bit more open as our craft is diversifying and growing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say that anyone that's kind of really anti the media witch, just to try to look at it from an open mind and realize that it's not really necessarily affecting your spirituality or your craft. Just keep
right.
doing you and let others do themselves.
And I'm a big advocate of let people have their fun. If it's not for you, then
yeah.
just pass it on and let folks have fun. So I'm going to have to ask you this question that I'm pretty sure nobody has ever asked you on any interview.
Oh, yay.
Hocus pocus. Which,
okay.
Which witch are you?
Oh, that's
which
hard.
Witch will be
So when I grew up, I loved Winifred. Like she was just like, oh my gosh, I loved her so much. But I would say more as an adult, I would be Sarah. Kind of some of the reason is for that is because I'm such a huge Sex and the City fan. And I love Carrie and Sarah Jessica Parker. And I think she does a wonderful job. And she still kind of has that same kind of character aloofness that she does in that show. So the glamorous witch Sarah from Hocus Pocus, that's who I would be.
Right. I could totally
yeah.
see you on the broom flying and come, my little ones.
Uh-huh.
That'll be great. You know? That yeah, see, nobody has asked you that, right?
No one has ever asked me that.
All right, so there
That's
is a
one.
Lot of common right. There is a lot of common places that we share and I'm very happy when I find mm-hmm. these little things with people, you know, that oh, we like the same things or we grew up the same way or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
I really like what you say about, you know, you guys grew up with that on TV and then that's that. And also what's wrong with learning from wherever you're learning, you know, because gatekeeping is such a yucky
oh, God,
thing,
yeah.
you know, and such so let
yeah.
people learn in whichever way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
It's sad because there is so much gatekeeping in our crazy little community that we have. And, you know, that's been – I've done a couple interviews, too, where I've been asked, you know, what would be my recommended advice for someone new that's starting out. And just always to surround yourself with people that lift you up, that inspire you, that are there for you, that help you, that aren't shaming mm-hmm. you, gatekeeping you, you know, we have too many self-proclaimed leaders in this community who want to tell you how to do your craft, where to buy your books, where to publish, you know, all this weird stuff. And it's just sad and unfortunate.
Yeah. And it's getting old. I think it's gone away because we have elders that we respect and admire, of course, but then there are the self-proclaimed ones that, you know, don't do it this way, don't do it that way. What I always tell people is, you know what, is between you and the divine. That's what it is. It's between you and the divine, and don't let anybody else tell you what to do. And so the other common place that we have, Michael, is tarot. And I don't know, first of all, how you pronounce it, tarot or tarot or tarot, in which family are you?
Tarot. I just say tarot.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
So how did you get into tarot?
Well, you know, again, when I was a little young teenage witchling, I definitely was reading all the books and felt like I needed to have all the tools and all the things. So, you know, the athame, the cauldron, the tarot, all of that. So I remember getting a few tarot decks when I was younger and looking at them, but I was so overwhelmed with how am I going to learn all of these cards and their meanings and everything. So I kind of put that on the back burner for a little bit. And it was, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago that I really kind of started to pay attention to it more. But I've always loved tarot because of the imagery and the symbolism. I have always been an artist, very big into fine arts. I started doing fine arts and drawing and painting and all of that from a very young age. And now it's moved more into graphic design and more technological art. But I loved that, just that element of it, and have always been really, really fascinated with symbolism. And I ended up teaching myself how to do it, just in looking at kind of what the symbolisms are and combining it with numerology and understanding how numerology and elements kind of work with things, and splitting it up a little bit. But I put in my first book, The Glam Witch, I have a little section that talks about kind of my philosophy on tarot, and give people kind of maybe an easier breakdown of how to maybe learn it, so it's not so super terrifying. Because I've done a couple of classes here in Chicago, and I've read publicly at a couple places too. And most newbies are always like, "Oh my gosh, I have to learn 70 some cards, and I have to learn two meanings because there's reversals too. Oh my gosh!" And they get so overwhelmed, and then they just don't learn it. So. But yeah, how did you get into it? How did you get started in tarot?
Oh my God, it's an amazing story. It's a long story, so I'll give you the short version. I got a reading. I got a reading when I was 16, with a different set of cards. We call them in Mexico. We call them the Spanish cards because they come from Spain.
Oh, I know what cards you're talking about. I love those. Yes,
yeah.
I love those.
Right? They're cute. They're cute, aren't they? With the little wand and the little cups and the coins, the golden coins. And so I got a reading with that deck, which is not precisely tarot. And the person who did the reading for me told me three things. The first thing she told me is I wasn't going to marry my former boyfriend. She told me I was going to live elsewhere, not in Mexico. And she told me I was going to marry a person that was not from Mexico. And all those three things happen, obviously, here I am. But she also told me, like, you do have, I don't like to use the word gift, but that's the word she used. She said, you have a gift, you need to learn, and you need to do it. And because we were at a family party, and all the adults have had their cards read already, she sat there with me at the tender age of 16 years old, and gave me a crash course on the cards, probably like an hour. And I read with that. And I read with those for the first 15 years. And then 15 years after that, I actually learned the tarot. And I've been reading for 32 years. Oh, my God. I'm old.
Wow. That's amazing. It's incredible how time flies. I know I keep kind of like kind of freaking out a little bit when I do little interviews and I think back and I'm like, yeah, I've been doing this for two decades now. It's weird how the time flies.
And but you know what? The longer you live, the longer you want to live, because it just gets better and better, and it gets more fun. And speaking of fun,
oh my gosh, I know, I know.
Tell us about, I have to ask you, because we're in the middle of the pandemic with COVID and all of this. So a little bit into like the personal realm of the glam, which Michael, how you been doing with this pandemic and all of that? Are you also moving a lot of your engagements online?
I've done a couple of of virtual classes, and that's been really great. I love that we are having this, that during this time, we have the luxury and the opportunity to connect more through the web and spread our witch web to different areas and things. So that's been fun. I have kind of put a little bit of a stop on some of my classes and other like engagements. I'm not like filling up too much of time with that, just because I have a lot of other kind of projects and other things going on behind the scenes right now that I'm trying to work on, and time is just a little bit limited. But otherwise, during COVID and this whole shutdown and stuff, from a magical point of view, I've been taking a lot of glamorous baths and shopping a lot, sadly to say that, but I have been getting a lot of new glamorous, fabulous clothings and just having a fun time with myself and my space. Baths, for example, are just one of the many ways that I like working with glamour. And I think that, you know, we hear about doing like ritual baths and spiritual baths for a lot of the time of like cleansing and removing obstacles and negativity. But for me and with my glamour, it's not so much to strip away the bad. It's more of the baths to accentuate the best so that it glows higher than that negativity and can kind of bounce that negativity off.
I love that. I love that because you're not focusing on this toxic niceness, but rather enhancing the good parts that still are out there, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I've kind of always had that philosophy too of, you know, we know about the law of attraction. Our thoughts become our reality. We think about what we want and then it's there. And I think that, at least for me, when I kind of dwell on too much of what the negative is, I'm in more of a negative space. I have more negative things happening. So with my magic, I don't really try to do too much of that. And I try to just really accentuate the positivity, the abundance, all of that stuff, so that it I just become a magnet for more of the good rather than that negative stuff, you know?
Of course. I'm curious, it just popped in my head because I keep feeling that you're a transplant just like me. Were you born in Chicago?
Yeah, in the south suburbs. I was born in Harvey and I grew up in Park Forest, which is about an hour south of the city. I've been here really my whole life, just in the surrounding suburbs and Chicago. So I had a really big desire to move away. Maybe I would say about 2 years ago, for about 5 years straight, I really wanted to move away, and I was really trying to get away to multiple places. I really wanted to move to Albuquerque and Santa Fe. I wanted to move to New Orleans. I was looking at a lot of different places, and nothing really worked out. And I'm just really happy living in Chicago now. I think I was trying to run away from other things, and now I'm embracing myself as a Windy City witch.
You're ours, honey. You're ours. You belong to us here in Chicago. I keep telling people I was not born in Chicago, but I got here as soon as I could. I love this city, and I'm going to live here forever because it's just a beautiful city. There's a lot of energy because of the lake, I think. Are you an empath as well? So you can feel it.
I wouldn't consider myself an empath, but I can feel and sense certain energy. It's hard to explain. I don't really remember what specifically that's called, but I have a hard time doing like just human emotion. But if something is kind of supernatural and weird, or there's some kind of negativity like cloud on somebody or something, I can feel that.
Oh, wow. I always thank the stars that I'm not an empath, as like the word, you know, the definition, because I've been carrying all the feelings from everybody. I can barely carry my own, you know?
Nothing. I mean, maybe it's there, and I just haven't paid attention to it. I mean, now even hearing you talk about that, I'm like, actually, maybe I am, and I should look more into it, because I usually have a tendency to know when something's wrong with someone, even if they don't, if they have a good poker face. So maybe there is. I just haven't focused too much on my practice on that.
I just think with all the glitter and all the crystals and all the stuff that you present in your photos, and I'm assuming that's 24/7 for you. I don't think that this is a persona you're just putting out there for the books.
Correct. Yeah, correct. So, go on. What's your question?
That's who you are. Yeah. No, the thing is, it reminds me so much of that glimmer from the water, from the ocean, from the lake, and that water... essence is empathy, sympathy, connection, intuition, you know? That's what I see when I look at you.
I love that. It's funny, too, because I've always had a hard time dealing with water energy because I don't really have any of it in my chart. I'm an Aries, so very fiery, but I have more – I have a lot of earth and I have a lot of air. My sun sign is the only sign that is fire, and then my only water bit is my Pluto is a water sign. So I've never – and I also don't know how to swim. So water has just always been the element that I feel least connected to. But I think it's beautiful, and I am very, very, very much in awe and amazement of it. So I'm trying to – because I've always told people too, I really just don't like the color blue. So I'm trying to wear blue a little bit more now and take on the glamour of water and kind of,
should,
I guess, balance myself out a little bit with that.
Why do you mean you don't like blue? I'm the blue witch. You cannot say that on my show.
I'm sorry. Oh, gosh, yes, I forgot about that. It's just not my favorite color, okay?
I got you, because, you know, I noticed how you like pinks and purples, and I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. No, my thing. It's funny because go ahead.
Yeah, I love pinks, but I also love yellow. And statistically, yellow is like the world's least favorite color because it's obnoxious and it gives people a headache. But I love, love, love yellow. So like yellows and pinks and golds and silvers and anything metallic, I love that. The warm colors have always been more of my jam.
And those are like high vibration colors. So, you know, mm-hmm. I because people ask me, you know, is it blue witch because of the water element and because you're a water witch and this, that, and I'm like, no, I just like to do my makeup blue, and then people started calling me blue witch. But now I kind of have embraced it, and then everything that I own, I have in my hands a fan that is blue, so, you know, everything is like blue, and that also makes it super easy for people to gift you things.
Yeah,
you know, when you're not for a color, so here's this.
Well, I'm wearing blue right now, so I wore blue for you tonight, I guess. Apparently,
there you go.
Yes, I'm in a new caftan that's blue and green and purple. It looks like water. So I guess I didn't. I unintentionally dressed for you tonight, Laura.
Thank you, and I unintentionally dressed for you because I'm wearing this like purplish pink type of thing.
I love
people people are going to think, well, these people are ever going to get to talk about the book. Yes, we're going to talk about the book. But before we go into talking about the book, I have a wonderful song that both you and I love. I was able to upload it. It took me like, I was in the, like right under the wire uploading this song. Incubus Succubus, kind of like a 80s feel to it, but I don't care. Mm-hmm. It's just wonderful. It's called The Heart of Lilith. And we're going to listen to that, and we're going to come back with more here with Michael Arkes on Lunatic Mondays. Don't go anywhere.
She has come from the shadows of
And we're back here on Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSN Podcast, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. And I would like to talk to you about, real quick, about the next shows that are coming for the rest of July. We're going to have on Spanish on Paganos del Mundo. Paganos del Mundo is a show that is transmitted here on CSNP every Saturday at 6 o'clock Central. And the next Saturday is going to be Harwit Duileva. She's coming back. She was gone for a little bit, but she's back, and she's going to be talking about El Jardín del Edén, the Garden of Eden. And then, of course, on the 25th, as every last Saturday of the month, our program will be on Portuguese with Patricia Finclair, and she's going to be interviewing Clever Lupino, the familiar tradition of the lupus, the familiar tradition of the wolf, and that is going to be in Portuguese. So if you speak either Spanish or Portuguese, don't miss Paganos del Mundo every Saturday. And then for Lunatic Mondays, our last Lunatic of the month, on the 27th, we're going to have an interview with Monica Boderski from Canada, and she's going to be sharing with us about her brand new Shadowland Tarot. And hopefully we're going to be talking also about Witchfest North. I believe Witchfest North this year will be also online, like a lot of all of the events that have had to move to online platforms. So hopefully by then, Monica already has some information for us and we can start getting ready and prepare. And for some of us that haven't never been able to go to Toronto to enjoy the Witchfest North, it will be a good opportunity to actually join the celebrations. And as always, to remind you to listen to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox on every Sunday evening, and then Nature Mystic on every Wednesday evening. And then two Tuesdays a month, we have Circle Talk with Deborah Rose, Circle Sanctuary Circle Talk. That's the oldest Circle Sanctuary show. And twice a month as well, we have Moon Magic with Janet and David Ewen. So don't miss all of the shows here on CSN Podcast, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, and obviously with yours truly on Lunatic Mondays. And you can also go to the archives of CSNP. You can go to Circle Sanctuary website, circlesanctuary.org, and then open the window for CSNP archives. There's over 200 hours of recorded podcasts there that you can listen, you can download, you can share, you can put on your websites, you can share with your friends, and it's all done free for you by all of the volunteers here. So I'd like to thank also the couple of folks that are in the chat here live tonight. Thank you for connecting. And Michael, I'd like to welcome you back to Lunatic Mondays. How was that break?
It was fantastic. I love that song.
Right, I love that song. I think I met that band through that song, and it was a blessing, because I texted them, called them, emailed them, and asked if we could play their music on our shows, and they said yes. And that is wonderful. But then again, I'm a witch, and it's very weird. Almost never happened that people say no. I'm very blessed that most of the time they say yes. And there is a plethora of cooperation with the community, and most people, you know, live and vibrate of that abundance of community and helping each other and being there for each other. And part of the new book taps into that, of that energy of abundance and to vibrate on that energy. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so the new book called The Complete Book of Moon Spells, it's really kind of a different way to work moon magic. Because, you know, I'm sure you're aware of it, but there's so many different books out there that just pretty much focus on four moon phases. So you have the waxing, the waning, the full, and the new. And sometimes you'll get some stuff about the dark moon. But what I really kind of tried to present to people was a different way to use all eight phases of the moon. So, for example, I'll kind of run down like how I break it all out. So, you know, the new moon is the perfect time to set your intentions. It's new. It's a great time to do that, to focus on intentions, to bring new abundance into your life. And abundance, as we kind of mentioned a little earlier on in the show, is not just money, but an abundance of joy, happiness, love. Money is part of it. And just empowerment. You know, empowerment continues to be the underlying theme in all of the things that I'm writing and working on. So we have the new moon that's setting your intentions, and then it goes into the waxing crescent, which is the time to take action because the moon is starting to move, and that growth period is a great time for spells that work with action. And then we come into the first quarter, which we have that first half moon kind of a phase, and that to me is a great time to start making decisions about what's kind of standing in the way and like how you can make effective decisions on, you know, where you need to go, because with that half moon, I kind of look at it as like the crossroads. It's a split road, so you can go one way or the other. So thinking about things in that way. And then we have the waxing gibbous, which is, as it's coming really close to the full moon, a great time to really get specific about what intentions that you're trying to put out there. So working spells that really focus on specific things that you need. And then the full moon is, of course, a time. So many people look at it as a time to just kind of do a big cast, a wide net, and get all of the magic that you want. But for me, it's a really great time to celebrate, glow, and reflect lunar light. So just personally, in my personal practice, that's what I'm doing all of my ceremonial work and devotions to Lilith. And then in the book, I give a lot of different type of ways to celebrate just moon and abundance in general. And then after the full moon, it starts to wane. So we have the waning gibbous, and that's a time to do gratitude work. So, you know, you've reached that goal, you've celebrated it. Now we actually need to start being grateful for it, whether it's already manifested or just even gratitude for what is coming to you. Because the more that we're practicing gratitude, again, the more we become a magnet for more good stuff to happen in our life. And then we get into that third quarter, that like last dual-sided moon, and so we just had that. I want to say it was Saturday or Sunday was the third quarter phase, and for me that's a great time to work on forgiveness, because, you know, the waning period, a lot of times people just throw in that kind of release and surrender as a big blanket, but when we have that two-sided moon again, the dark and the light, I think it's a great time to start working on kind of forgiveness and letting go and healing yourself in that way. And then right before the moon becomes new again, we have that waning crescent. And for me, that's the time to let go, release, surrender, anything that's holding you back from achieving your goals and what it is that you want in your life. And so the book itself kind of guides readers through how to use each of the eight moon phases. In one way you could do it is like really doing your goal at the new moon and then continuously working on it with mantras and manifestations and different spells and things like that to kind of help emphasize it throughout the whole fate, throughout the rest of the cycle. But I also think that other witches who've probably been doing this for a very long time will just kind of jump into the spells and have fun with that. And I tried really hard to put out really fun different spells that really speak to our current state of the world right now. And a lot of them are they've been kind of reworked a little bit from personal ones that I have in my practice as well. So I don't want to give everything away for everyone, but I'll give enough.
Of course. That is great. Having a combination of working with abundance, I'm assuming, with justice, mm-hmm. being living the Lilith Arcane Manifesto, and mm-hmm. being a person who is part of a minority, being a queer person or a gay person, are mm-hmm. any of your spells, either within or without the new book, geared towards social justice, equality, any of those things that we so desperately need? Or are you the kind of witch that stays away from that?
I really love this question. So in the first book, The Glam Witch, I do have a whole chapter that I call Bionic Bitchcraft. And it's kind of my chapter on justice, protection, hexing, all of that good stuff. And the way that I present it is that, you know, so many books tell you, oh, don't do this or don't hex her, that's bad and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, you know, we all have personal choice, like Lilith had choice. So I've kind of divided that chapter into a what's the right way to put it? Like a dichotomy between magical fight or flight. So if we really want to look at kind of what's going on, you know, are there certain reasons why we should kind of go after and attack certain things from a magical perspective? And there's maybe some other times when maybe it's better to just walk away from it and leave it alone. So I split that up a lot with kind of some instances where I'd be like, you know, that's probably something that is better for you just to kind of remove yourself from. But also there are times when, you know what, we've done everything in the real world to try to fix, you know, a situation. We've acted as practically as possible, because I'm a firm believer that, you know, we have to act both practically and magically in order to actually manifest something. It's like buying a lottery ticket. Mm-hmm. We can wish that we're going to win the lotto, but if you're not actually actively doing that, it's not going to work. So yeah, I definitely have some justice spells that are listed in the Glam Witch, that are geared towards, justice and, you know, helping anyone that is, receiving prejudice or, you know, something along those lines. Cause as you know, Lilith is a goddess of equality. She, to me, is a goddess mm-hmm. of our generation right now, both with equality and sexual freedom, and that's everything. So I really feel like she's a quintessential goddess for our time right now. And then in the new book, I do have a justice spell. It's in actually the forgiveness section. That's really the only one that I have for justice and for actually going after something like that, that I believe off the top of my head.
And I still want us to talk about prosperity, but before we jump into that, where can people find your book? Starting tomorrow is going to be everywhere. So where can people find it? And when can people find it and have it signed? I'm interested in the signature, you know?
So the Complete Book of Moonspells is on Amazon. So go ahead and go over there and get it there. So is my other one. And there's links to it on my website too, which is www.theglamwitch.com. But I'd also, you know, right now with everything that's going on with COVID, double check too with any of your local witchcraft metaphysical New Age stores to see if they have it in stock. So that way you're supporting them as well. Because I know businesses right now are having a hard time. But it's out. The books are out there wherever books are sold. I did just have to figure out for anyone that might be listening from an international standpoint that Amazon does not really work in Australia, so Book Depository is the way to get my books in Australia. Otherwise, you can find it online. And as far as signed ones go, I would just say to grab the book and then catch me maybe next year when things are getting better and I'm able to do a little bit more appearances and everything. Right now, I don't have, unfortunately, the current publisher doesn't have a way to kind of have those sent out for the Moon book. But I do have links for the Glam Witch book. That publisher has a unique situation with me where you can order signed copies. So check my website out for that.
Oh, that is okay. So that's where I need to go because I have to take advantage of having all these wonderful authors that are coming out with all these beautiful things that they're offering that as an option. You know, you want to have a signed copy and they can do it. So the Complete Book of Moon Spells is available on Amazon or wherever books are sold, and also www.glamwitch.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, the Glam Witch.
Awesome. The Glam Witch. Okay. And I'm curious, and I hope that we have time to do the two questions. So let me choose which one. Abundance. Abundance and prosperity to me is, as we talk about at the beginning of the show, more about resources, people, and the ability. How did you come up? And I'm asking, I mean, for you and I might be very obvious, but I don't want to be a cynic and be like, oh, yeah, Michael, you and I know how that is. Other people might just be thinking about it as we speak. So how do you, or when do you realize that abundance doesn't mean money? And how was your discovery of that concept?
I would say that it was probably in the last couple of years, because abundance just kind of became more of a catchphrase, you know, in the same way that like catchphrase for manifestation and intention are so popular these days. But I used to be someone who would also think that abundance was just more money and monetary. But I can't really pinpoint exactly where or when, but my guess would be somewhere on television or in a class that I was attending or something that just talked about abundance being used in a not necessarily a money way. And honestly, I may have even kind of realized it by just when I'm writing and looking up synonyms for words to make things sound better. It could have been from that too. But, you know, I think that's actually a good point too, you know, with the subtitle of the book being in reference to abundance. I did just get interviewed too, and someone thought that it was all about money. And it's about living abundantly and using the force of the moon, since the moon is such a big part of my practice, to manifest what you want in life and to be happy and to feel empowered. Those are the really important parts of what it is to be a witch to me.
Beautiful. And I have one more question that I cannot let you go without.
Sure.
Okay, you love Lilith. You work with Lilith. You wrote the book for Lilith. Is there any other gods or goddesses on the pantheon of Michael that are as important, or maybe a little bit less important? But that you know,
no, I'm in a very monogamous relationship with Lilith. I don't think that she wants me to work with anybody else. I think she's made that very clear in the past. I joke about it too. I mean, even when I started out and I was kind of rejecting her a little bit, I was kind of doing deity speed dating and checking out different goddesses and seeing which connections and energies worked. And since then, Hecate has tried to call out to me, but Lilith kind of intervened and made it very clear that that was not something to do. But I do have an affinity and a love and an appreciation for Aphrodite. I think a lot of people that know my work with Lilith, by the way that I work with her, is much more of that sensual, seductress aspect of her that is very Aphrodite, Venus, Ishtar, Astarte. So those kind of sensual goddesses I have an affinity for. But it's all Lilith for me.
And are any of your books translated to Spanish?
No, they are not, to my knowledge, actually. I don't think that they are. That's a great question.
Well,
I need to look that up.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so I have time for the prickly question, and I'm going to ask it because I promised myself I was only going to ask it if we had time, and we do have time.
Yay!
You know me. If you know me for 5 seconds, you know I'm a feminist. I'm a feminist witch. I use the hashtag a lot.
Yes, me too.
I'm perfectly happy with having a cisgender male talking about Lilith. I figure the more the merrier. Have you had any backlash from other radical or otherwise unhappy feminists?
No, and I will be very honest that I'm very shocked about it. Because to be very candidly, I'm just very shocked that I haven't really had that much backlash at all, just in general. I'm very humbled by it. I'm just so honored, because even when I first started coming out and writing, I was still in that mindset of, like what we were talking about earlier, like the elders from 15 years or so ago, where it was like, oh my gosh, you're a witch and you wear pink, fluffy bunny. We hate you. You can't do anything in this community. You're worthless. So I figured, of course, me being very aesthetic centered, that I would get a lot of hate for that. And I haven't. It's been quite the opposite. And then as far as Lilith goes, I think it is because, and I mean, you know me outside of us chatting here. I am born male, I am very feminine, and I I appreciate and tap into my femininity much more than my masculine, which is one of the reasons why, for me earlier, even working in like Wicca, for example, I had a hard time because I don't identify with the God energy. And I think what someone had told me that was a woman was that I create me as this gay man talking about femininity and feminism. I create more of a very safe space for women to come in and feel good about themselves. And I love that. Another big thing is too, is like, you know, Lilith is, she's been called like this feminist goddess, and that's totally true. But remember too, she's a goddess of equality, and she possesses she kind of surpasses gender identity when you start working with her, because she has both the yin and the yang kind of quality to her. She has very masculine traits and very feminine traits. I do kind of see her as both an equal balance between the two. And that's kind of what I've been trying to get out there as well.
And see, the thing is with feminism and with Lilith, it's about equality. And we know it's about equality. And then you have this trans-exclusive radical, I refuse to call them feminists.
TERFs.
I
would like to address that real quick, because it's something that I get a lot of questions about, actually. And it's sad because I see it often online too much from women who are saying that, you know, trans women are not allowed to worship Lilith or work with her because they're not born a woman. And it's very untrue. And if anything, that those people that are saying that are probably the ones that shouldn't be working with her, because you're being prejudiced. And again, Lilith works with equality. So you really probably should think twice before you start thinking that or saying that, or even trying to call on her, because she's going to mess your life up.
I say that they should be called that instead of be called TERF, they should be called Terra, trans explosive radical, something. I have a question here in the chat room, Michael. They're asking me if your book will be available on Kindle.
Yeah, both books are available on Kindle.
Okay,
so head
cool.
on over
so
to Amazon, and they're there.
All right. So last but not least, we're just about to hit the 1 hour mark. Thank you so much for talking about this exclusiveness.
Of course, thank
that
you
is
so much
not
for having me.
It's not what Lilith is about, and it's not what feminism is about. Michael, where can people contact you? Where can people find you? We already talked about where they can find the books, but where they can find you is they want to follow you and know about your work.
Go ahead and follow me on Instagram. I'm most active on Instagram. And my handle is @the.glam.witch. Otherwise, my website connects to email and ways to get in touch with me, tarot readings, all of that good stuff. And that's, again, www.theglamwitch.com.
Awesome. Michael, they say thank you for all the information in the book here in the chat room. It's been active.
Oh, fantastic.
The chat room usually is very dormant, but we have had a couple of people today. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you, Laura.
Our listeners for being here. And it's been wonderful to get to know you even better on the interview. And I leave you the microphone
you
to say goodbye to your audience.
All right. Bye, everyone. Thank you for joining.
Thank you, everybody. We're going to say goodbye tonight with this song by Louis Garou called Rise Up, Lilith. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, everyone, for being here tonight. Never forget that you are loved. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Rise up, Lilith, rise up, away from God, away from man. Rise up, Lilith, rise up, you took your freedom, you took your stand. You said, I bow to no man, I will lie beneath no man. I refuse to take his orders, spread your wings and flew away. said, damn the men, damn their gods to their hell of smoke and flame. Rise up, Lilith, rise up, you're needed once again. Rise up, Lilith, rise up, away from God, away from man. Rise up, Lilith, rise up, you took your freedom, you took your stand. You refused his subjugation for this sin, you sure were damned. Truth is, you were never wrong, but we all understand. Now resistance to the patriarch is strong and on the rise. See the women all around me, and I see you in their eyes. Rise up, Lilith, rise up, away from God, away from man. Rise up, Lilith, rise up, you took your freedom, you took your stand. Rise up, Lilith, rise up, away from God, away from man. Rise up, Lilith, rise up, you took your freedom, you took your stand. Rise up, women, rise up, take your freedom, take your stand. Rise up, women, rise up, take your freedom, take your stand. Rise up, women, rise up, take your freedom, take your stand.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.